It is 5:06 on the Central Coast. It is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. We're also pleased to have Craig Hill back with us, although we appreciate Jim Richards sitting in for the last week and a half. During the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to let Craig share with us his big barbecue tour of Texas and just get caught up. This hour, Chris Aaron has been on the show numerous times over the years. Always good to see him. Tonight, he is wearing his hat as a president of the Paso Robles School Board, and we're going to be focusing on that topic today. Chris, nice to see you. Thanks for
evening,
coming
Dave.
Down.
It's so good to be back in person in the studio.
Yeah. Would you mind if I spoke Spanish during this interview and did the interview in Spanish?
You can speak Spanish or Russian or whatever language you speak. I just won't be able to understand you unless you speak English or German to me. But I've got to mention before we go any further, by the way, that I am not here representing the school district or the school board. I am only one of seven trustees there, and this year I happen to be the president.
But you are the president.
I'm the president this year. It's you're elected president on a yearly basis, and usually it rotates through the board.
Are you enjoying the experience? Do you recommend elective office, local office to people?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, I've spouted off for now about a decade and a half on your show on political issues here in the county, and spoken before some organizations, and of course was active in the party. But I felt a couple of years ago, and after I was asked, I thought it was time. Yeah, may as well put your money where your mouth is and go actually out there and do something. And the district had need for some help in the financial mess it was in. And I got on the board 2 years ago, and it's been fun tackling the various issues. At times, it's not always always nice and calm sailing. We've had some pretty choppy waters over the last couple of years, but it's amazing how good shape the district is in right now in various respects.
And we'll circle back to that. First, General, what's the status? When are the students going back to class? What do you expect to happen?
Well, we are currently in a four-day-a-week hybrid model. Tuesdays through Fridays are in hybrid, and then on Mondays it's all remote learning. We were considering, now that the restrictions have eased a little bit and we've had some legislation in the state that says we've got to get the kids back in class to the extent practical. We were sort of ahead of the curve on a lot of that stuff compared to other districts in the county. Last night we had a choice to make. Do we go back full time, 5 days a week? Do we extend the hybrid to 5 days a week, bring in Monday into the mix? Or do we just stay the course as it is until the end of the school year? Logistically, we could not handle a full return to class 6 hours a day, whatever it is, 5 days a week. We just couldn't handle it logistically. We've finally decided, after a fair amount of discussion, that it would have been too disruptive to the kids, to the teachers, to the parents, to everybody, to change now to gain about another 6 Mondays of instruction in the best case scenario if we opened up the hybrid also on Monday. So we've decided to stay the course. We're going to have a very strong summer school program for learning recovery. It's desperately needed throughout the nation. I mean, what our kids have suffered in large parts of this nation from not having gone to school for a year, it's terrible.
What do you think? What do you think happened?
Well, the remote learning by itself is not effective for most kids. Rough guesstimates are about 10% of the students do well with it. Some do even better than in personal attendance for some reason. But, you know, everybody's a little bit different, but about 90% of the kids are not doing so well. Their motivation is down. Their academic performance is down. Their social contacts are down. Their depression is up. It's the degree to which psychopharmaca have been prescribed for children is up. The need for counseling is up. I understand from some national reports that I believe teenage suicides are up. It's been bad. These are sort of the hidden consequences out there that aren't as dramatic. You can't quite enter in a spreadsheet as well as you can COVID cases. But the younger folks have really suffered, and many of them are going to unfortunately, I think, suffer for the rest of their lives because they've been hamstrung by this.
And what about the teachers? What do you hear from the teachers? Or do you hear from teachers on the school board?
We hear some reports, but a lot of what we hear is not the teachers speaking to us directly, but through the administration. But we know it's been tough on the teachers, this whole scheduling, learning to work with new technologies. They're also hurting from this this distance learning. It's not easy for them to keep track of 30 kids on one screen. It's been very difficult for the teachers. Their prep time has they've had some suffering with regard to prep time. That was one of the reasons we decided not to reopen on Monday also, is because it would have taken time that the teachers are using to prepare their courses on Monday, and would have had to move that time somewhere else. And everybody's nerves in general are a little bit frazzled. It'll be really good to get back to normal operations, and we think we're going back full time on summer school. It looks like we'll be able to do that unless the state or the county shut us down in that respect. And we're planning full normal instruction as of the fall. By that time, we hope that most people have been vaccinated.
Have you been vaccinated?
I've got my first shot and waiting for my second shot.
What'd you get?
I got the Pfizer.
Yeah, that's what I got too.
Yeah.
Chris Herron on this broadcast. He is the president of the Paso Robles School Board. So I just want to hear directly from you, because you have been the source of editorial and news coverage of the Tribune. I just want to hear from you directly. What is happening with this debate over this is an ethnic studies class called Ethnic Studies, Multicultural America, taught by Jeff Lamb, who, in fairness, I haven't seen Jeff in about 20 years. I knew him when he was director of EcoSlo. Uh-huh. I know him to be a very fine, dedicated teacher. So
exactly.
I just as an outsider, Chris, how did this become such a controversial topic for the school board?
Well, it came to us. It's coming to every school board in the state and probably in the country. I've had contact recently with the folks from Minnesota who are facing similar issues there at the state level. We have legislation in the state of California and an established curriculum in the state of California that's supposed to be implemented in a couple of years, maybe even as a high school graduation requirement, to teach ethnic studies at school there. Now, ethnic studies in many, especially at the university level, is based, practically every course in the country is based on what they call critical race theory, which is I wouldn't even call it a theory. I don't think it deserves the name theory. It's intellectually a pretty vacuous doctrine. It's more like an ideology. And you either go along with it or you're a racist. This is a theory that sees everything through a racial lens, basically condemns all of the United States for the history of racism in the United States, applies morals of today to practices a couple hundred years ago or
more.
Is
that how Jeff Lamb is going to teach the class?
No.
Okay.
No, and this is where I think this is why I was so fervently in favor of this course, because we had discussed that this course would not be based on critical race theory. It would be based on history and analysis of history, looking at history in context, which means not condemning Thomas Jefferson because he owned slaves and applying the morals of today, but looking back at what was the situation 250 years ago when slavery was widespread throughout almost the entire world.
Help me understand something. I have no children, so I don't. Yeah. I don't get involved with school board. Is it often that a school board like yours, Chris, gets involved in the teaching of a specific class?
We adopt the courses. The staff comes to us and they prepare a curriculum, and we review it and more or less in detail, depending on the course, and we adopt it. We recently adopted a science curriculum of for 6th, 7th, 8th grade. A new program. Loved the textbooks. Very, very pretty textbooks. I think very well written. But we didn't go into great detail on that course. Those courses, I should say, was for all three grades. This one here, because of the political sensitivity of the topic and because we have this great I'm going to take a step back. The great division in the debate about race in this country, mm-hmm. I believe, is between the critical race theory approach, where, you know, the stuff that leads to this book, White Fragility, all whites are racist from birth on, and no person of an ethnic minority can be a racist. Sort of strange conclusions, in my view. Right. But that's the CRT approach, the critical race theory approach. And then there's what I call the Martin Luther King approach, which is we judge people by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And this division, we made sure in our ethnic studies course, it's not going to be based on CRT. It's mm-hmm. going to be based more on sober academic historic analysis, no hindsight bias, looking at things in context, and the Martin Luther King approach.
Are school board members going to be going into Jeff's class?
Well, this school board member is planning to, unless the health department says I can't. I've been in his class. I was in his class maybe 3, 4, 5 times, something like that, in the pre-COVID era. Yeah. And one of the reasons I favored this course also is because I have extreme faith in this instructor.
He's a good teacher.
He's a liberal, but a good instructor anyway, David. No, he's a fine academician. I've seen him work with his students. He plays the Socratic method well with him. He's just really excellent. I can't think of a better instructor we could have for this course, and I am convinced he is not going to go off on the CRT tangent.
Is this a required class, Chris?
No, this is an elective so far. Right. We plan to have at least one class of it next year. Jeff might end up teaching two classes depending on the demand. We had lots of students there last night for the discussion, and all in favor of it.
All right, we'll talk more about that. Chris Aaron is here for the hour, wearing his hat as president of the Paso Robles School Board. Again, he's not speaking for the school board, but we're glad he's speaking to us. We'll pick up the conversation. Your phone call still to come. You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk KVEC.
KVEC.
We will welcome your phone calls for Chris Aaron after news at the bottom of the hour. He's giving us an update on everything happening with the Paso Robles School Board, including this issue that's been getting a lot of coverage in the local media about this ethnic studies class. So what happened last night? Because I thought the final vote was 6-1.
It was 6-1. We first had a vote after a lot of discussion, a huge amount of public comment. We had over 50 emails sent to us from the public in the course of about a day or so, supporting the course, one against the course. We had a great deal of discussion, a lot of public comment from students last night in person there. We had allowed students to attend in person last night, which normally were, I guess we haven't been supposed to do in recent times due to COVID, but they came and, it was close to an hour of public comment. Normally, I was going to limit it to 20 minutes the way we're permitted to, but I felt, and our clerk also, we kind of looked at each other, nodded, and said, yeah, we'll let it run. We had a great deal of discussion. Some of the board members were not quite satisfied with the course because they didn't feel there was quite enough balance. And it went down on a vote of 4-3 initially, 4 against, 3 in favor. I've always favored this course because I have this clear trust in the instructor.
So you were in the 3.
I was one of the 3.
Okay.
Then we continued discussion on it. First of all, there was a look at maybe we table it so the course can be tweaked a little bit more. And it was clear the staff, especially the teacher, he's spent so much time developing the course. It was just, I can't do anymore. And then I start asking folks, okay, what specific points do you want to, what do you need to see still in the course that you will then vote for it? We've dealt with all the foundational aspects, critical race theory or no hindsight bias, all that type of stuff. And We had some suggestions. The one was a little bit more in selected writings from Thomas Sowell and Ayan Hirsi Ali when in the segment on Islam. Then we had the suggestion that it was a little bit too much for the 9th and 10th graders, so it should only be open for 11th and 12th. And we did a quick horse trade on that and decided to go with the 11th and 12th. Yeah. And then there was the idea it should be for a one-year trial period and see how the course runs. And then we voted on it again. A couple of the votes were a little bit reluctant yeses, but we ended up then with 6-1 in favor of the course.
And the students spoke.
Oh, yes, we had.
What was their general reaction?
Well, the students just absolutely wanted the course. We had some students who felt it will help them, I guess, discover their ethnic identity or something like that. That was sort of the gist of some of the remarks from students. In general, it was just clear that they really wanted this course. Some of the students were not so, a couple of them, though they didn't say it, but you could tell from their reactions in the audience that when I, for instance, emphasized that we will not be teaching critical race theory in the course, you could tell that they were a little bit, they didn't like that. We had an instructor from Cal Poly who teaches, that has something to do with the ethnic studies department there at Cal Poly, and she was pretty insistent, though she just in an email, that CRT should be part of the course.
And Paso Robles, 60% Hispanic?
I think it's roughly 50, I think it is, roughly 50.
About at least half.
About half, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you see more than this one class being added? Do you see an entire curriculum on ethnic studies? Would you like to see that?
Well, it's going to be only one class because that's what we have the resources for. It'll be a year-long class as an elective. My guess is that in 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to have it as a mandatory course that every student's going to have to go through in high school because that's what California says, although there is a slight caveat to that. California says you do not have to have a specifically dedicated ethnic studies course. You can cover the subject of ethnic studies in the context of a history class.
Would you like to see it mandatory? I think whether
it's done as an independent course or as part of history, I think it's important. Everyone says this country is a nation of immigrants. After all, even the Native Americans wandered across the land bridge, right? So we've got it's good for people to know that this country is a conglomeration of people from a whole bunch of different ethnicities. Some have had it a little bit easier than others, but really, if you go back through just about everybody's ancestors in this country, you will find people who haven't had it very easy. It's been a tough go, be it for the Irish, for the Italians. One of the historic anecdotes that still surprised me a bit is that the greatest mass lynching in American history was a bunch of Italians who got lynched about 100 years ago in the South. We've had, it's racism is a sign of stupidity and maybe a sign of being primitive. And this has happened. This has been the nature of man through most of human history. I think last night I mentioned the example of the Romans sacking Carthage. You know, they did the Carthaginian solution there. It's an important topic for people to recognize, but they should also recognize we're now a nation of one with equality under the law, and we have made a hell of a lot of progress.
All right, Chris Aaron from the Paso Robles School Board explaining what happened at last night's meeting and talking about issues in general. We've got news and traffic and weather. Your phone calls when we come back. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. We are in conversation with Chris Aaron. He is the president of the Paso Robles School Board. We're focusing on school board issues, what happened last night, what's been happening lately. The Tribune has been covering this a lot. Well, New Times did too. A lot of local interest in the school board. If you want in on the conversation, feel free to join us. 805-543-8830 is the main number. But you can also call us toll-free at 800-549-5832. You have been president, Chris, throughout the school year. You've been the subject of a lot of coverage.
In December.
A lot of editorials from the Tribune. Have you been treated fairly?
Well, I don't think so. I saw one headline in a Tribune article, something along the lines of, I scolded Spanish speakers or something like that, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That was the case with Susana Lopez.
Susana Lopez, who actually I've met with her personally, we get along fine. We had a misunderstanding a couple weeks ago, a lot of it due to the technology, but we've had, in general, an issue there that we've had people come up to the school board and they address us during public comment in Spanish, although they speak fluent English. The first time that happened was when an attorney, shortly after I'd been elected, a young attorney was there, and he spoke for about 2 minutes in Spanish. None of us could understand Spanish. And then all of a sudden he broke into English, and I was flabbergasted that he had been wasting our time in Spanish. And so I responded for about 20 seconds in German and then went back to English.
Maybe you weren't the primary audience. Maybe his – and I'm just a theory here. Maybe he was speaking – to the Spanish-speaking folks who don't know English that well.
Well, that's possible, of course. We've got to look at the purpose of public comment. Public comment is not a forum for people to get up like the soapbox there in Hyde Park in London and spout whatever they want to spout. They're supposed to speak to issues that are within our subject matter jurisdiction. And as it says in the law, it is an opportunity for the public to address, in our case, the school board. You're talking to the school board. It's kind of impolite to talk to somebody in a foreign language they don't understand, although you can perfectly fluently speak their language. On top of that, the Constitution of the State of California expressly states English is the official language of the State of California. In other words, it's the language in which we conduct our official business, which we're doing as a school board then. And it's also the common language of the State of California, and state officials, that means all officials in the state, are required under the Constitution to preserve and enhance English as the common language. So I have taken the position repeatedly that if someone is fluent in English, they should speak to us in English. If they can't speak to us in English, I have no problems providing accommodation. We provide
translation.
We provide translation. Matter of fact, we have been providing now for about since the beginning of the year, simultaneous translation of our proceedings during the meetings, although we have found out that so far the rate of viewers who turn on the Spanish version on YouTube, we broadcast on the YouTube channel, is a big goose egg, zero. We had about three people last night who temporarily clicked on and backed out again, so I don't know.
Do you have any Hispanic Americans on the school board?
No.
With 50% Hispanic background students, no school board members.
Nope. They're welcome. Anybody's welcome to run. All they say is run. It's like the members of the Spanish-speaking community. We, of course, have a lot of immigrants there, both legal and illegal immigrants, but we have a lot of immigrants there in the area whose children are in school, and I would welcome them getting more involved in school affairs and getting dealing more with the things that are important for their children. I would welcome it. Come on board. All I can do is invite them.
Are the school board members going to be elected at large like the Paso Robles City Council is talking about?
Not anymore. We've had case law in California that says now we all have to go to district voting.
Right.
So
the
city of Paso Robles is going to chop itself into five districts, and they'll have one representative from each district.
So a school board will be the same as city council?
Well, it's not. We have seven members, and our district is a lot larger. For instance, okay. I don't live in the city limits. I live out at Heritage Ranch, and we're within the school board district. So we will draw seven district lines. We may draw only five. We may reduce the number of board members to five.
The composition could change.
The composition will certainly change. It changes every election anyway, really.
Right.
But the composition, the way in which we vote will change. Each separate area, trustee area, will have one trustee, and those seven or five trustees, if we reduce to five members, will then constitute the school board.
If you want to join us, please do with Chris Aaron from the Paso Robles School Board, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. I'm not going to read these, but basically we've got two text messages on the Stolberg line thanking you for your position and agreeing with you 100%.
Well, that's nice. I don't always get that, but that's good. That's nice. Yeah.
Sure, we'll take phone calls. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Matt is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Hey, hi,
Matt.
Chris.
Hey,
how
Matt.
Are you?
Fine.
And Dave.
Hey, Matt.
Hi. I appreciate you being willing to get on the school board or running for that position. And I came to America myself at age 16 because I wanted to become American, and because I knew that there was freedom here, there was economic opportunity. My father had died, so I wanted to come here. I saw the future, and I came here legally. And when I came here, I had to have a sponsor who actually underwrote or had to sign a document stating that he would be responsible for me financially.
What about the school board, Matt?
Say again?
What about the school board and what we're talking about?
Or schools.
About? Yeah.
Well, I'm just giving you a background on it. And I think it's wonderful that Chris is doing what he's doing and upholding the law. And I commend him for that. I think he's doing a wonderful job.
So what about the teaching of ethnic studies, Matt?
Well, I think it's appropriate for students to be taught about the history, as long as it's done appropriately and fairly, instead of pushing one minority group over another one.
Yeah, well, that's it exactly. And those were sort of the ground rules we had for our ethnic studies course. It would look at the history of various ethnic groups. It would look at history in context. Of the time, in other words, in the context of the times, and it would not apply hindsight bias, and it would not, above all, there would not be any critical race theory basis in that instruction, and that's what we've achieved. I think it's, frankly, I'm proud of the course. I think it's going to be a model. It could be a model for other school districts.
What else from you, Matt?
No, I appreciate that. Again, thank you for taking up a timely topic, and thank you, Chris, for doing what you do.
And, Max, for the record, I called you today. You owe me a phone call.
I do. I've been so busy that I haven't had time to call you, but thank you. We will.
All right. We'll talk. Bye. Matt's too busy to return my call. I'm hurt. Yeah. Scott's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dave.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Chris.
Hi.
I didn't really hear the whole thing on ethnics. But I kind of agree with what Matt said just before me. But let's say this ethics course is agreed and inserted into the requirement. How could we avoid any political motives on our students because schools are becoming more political because the teachers may insert their political views in the classroom, where I worry what influences what's being taught in the classroom will, you know, later in years will teach students to vote for what they've been taught in school. You know, when I was in high school, or even in Cal Poly, there was never any political motives from any teacher. Of course, we didn't have social media like we do today. But for the last 4 years, there's been a lot of videos online about red hats, shirts you're wearing, and you could be asked to leave the classroom. Sure, I understand there are teachers that don't like red hats.
Well, let me give you a brief rundown of that, because we ran into that issue full bore on the first day of school when parents in remote and distance learning were able to see the teachers with a Black Lives Matter poster in their background. And we had one teacher who objected to a student having a Trump poster in the student's background, the teacher saying, no, you cannot have political information or political statements like that. We address that, and the law is pretty simple on this stuff. Teachers do not have a right of free speech in school. They exercise speech on behalf of the school district, and the school district determines the curriculum. So if the teachers had to bring down their Black Lives Matter posters and some of the other posters they had in the backgrounds, and they did so. They did so. Well, there wasn't really any squawking.
Scott?
And then the students, on the other hand, they have free speech, and you cannot punish a student for wearing a red hat or for having a Trump poster in his background or for anything else in the kid's
room
background.
What's the symbolism of a red hat?
Well, that was the Trump hats.
Okay.
The Trump hats.
All right, Scott, what else
do you have? I could wear a 49er hat, and I could be considered a Trumpster. you know. But what I'm saying is that, listen, we know that teachers lean left. Not all of them, but most of them. They may insert comments, what they heard in the news today, and it might just continue the subject for whatever it is. I just think that the politics need to stay out of the classroom, whether it's left or right, and there's no biasness. In other words, are teachers willing to sign some kind of affidavit to the public that I will not...
They don't need to. It's in the law, actually. The law says they're supposed to be politically neutral in their instruction. We don't need to sign them an affidavit swearing they'll follow the law. If they violate it, we'll have issues with them.
Next thing you know, we'll be going back to loyalty oaths.
No, we don't need that.
All right, Scott, thank you. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Alan's in San Luis. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Chris.
Hi, Alan. Hey.
Yeah, first I want to say I like your approach there, Chris, and the board with the ethnic studies. Any program should take everything in context of history, of world history, of thousands of years. That's the way to put things in context.
Right.
Second, and a completely different note, but it does relate to the translator issue. Do you have access to a deaf interpreter in case somebody needs that?
We don't have anyone in regular attendance at the board meetings, no. No, we don't.
Not that I have a name to recommend, but just somebody on call if somebody calls.
What we can do, and we do say people want to participate in public comment, but they need some sort of accommodation, either because they don't speak English or because they have some other issue. I mean, if we have somebody who says, I'm a new immigrant from Russia and I would love to speak to the board, but I don't speak English, we'll do what we can to find somebody in the school district who is fluent in Russian, if we can. If we can't, then I'm sorry, we can't. But and of course, the person's always free to hire their own interpreter and bring them in. It's always a little bit of a cost question, isn't it? But we make reasonable accommodations for folks. And matter of fact, we have simultaneous translation going on during our meetings.
Good. Okay. The only thing I would recommend if you need that is between Polly and Cuesta, you should be able to find a deaf interpreter.
Oh, I'm sure we could. I'm sure we could. A little bit of advance notice and we can fix that.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
Alan, thank you. 805-543-8830. That's our primary number. 800-549-5832 for Chris Aaron. Is participation gone up in the last few months because of all the media coverage and the topics you've been considering, more parents participating or fewer?
It's hard to say because comparing this to the pre-COVID times, we've had some big meetings during pre-COVID times, and now, but we're getting a fair amount of viewers. I believe actually our viewership is up when we were doing the meetings by Zoom, and also now we broadcast on our district YouTube channel. And I don't know the statistics, but I believe we've got a fair amount of people who are looking at watching the proceedings, a couple hundred or something like that.
All right, we'll come back for a final segment with Chris Aaron. I'm Dave Congleton on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. If you want in on this conversation with Chris Aaron, president of the Paso Robles School Board, we would need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, listener writes, racism is not political. Racism is systemic in the creation of our country. Our country was built on the 3/5 compromise and continued to view black people in the same manner as well as many other ethnic minorities. How do you respond to that, Chris?
Well, of course racism was present in this country in the past, and we all know about the 3/5 number, and but you again have to look at it at the historic context. 250 years ago, you would have been hard put to find any place in the world where there was no slavery. And you'd be even harder put to find some place where there was no racism. Racism has been around throughout most of human history. When you look at the system we have now, of course, you can't find any racism in the legislation out there. It was culled out back in the 1960s when the civil rights legislation came into place, and especially with the Brown v. Board of Education decision, racism was cut out of the law. Most people nowadays, you look at them, you'll have to search far and wide for a racist, somebody who really judges people by the color of their skin.
You have to search far and wide for a racist?
Yeah, for someone who judges other people by the color of their skin and not by the content of their character, yes. I mean, you'll find them out there, and you will find them in every group, too.
What do you mean in every group?
You'll find people who hate blacks. You'll find people who hate Hispanics. You will find blacks who hate Hispanics, who hate whites, who hate, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of racial hostility out there. It's being excused nowadays as a result of this critical race theory ideology, that some groups are permitted to be racists, and others aren't. I think it's a sign of just absolute boneheaded stupidity.
Well, follow up on that. What is your fear of what might have been taught in this ethnic studies class? Had the board not set these firm guidelines?
Critical race theory is an extremely divisive theory. It drives a wedge between the ethnic groups in our society, and not just between what people say, BIPOCs, which I guess are people of color or something like that, right. And I hate these acronyms, and white people. You've got a lot of racial animosity growing in this country, and we're seeing it again with the various riots that are going on. It leads to a great deal of anti-American attitude where people are willing to tear down this entire country to atone for sins in the past.
Is that because of ethnic studies class, or could it be, Chris, the lack of ethnic study experience?
It's not so much due to ethnic studies, because that course in that form hasn't been around so long, but the critical race theory has been around really since the first origination of it was back in 1989, although it goes back a little bit earlier in time, the actual philosophy. But that has been a contagion that has spread through academia faster and more thoroughly than COVID has spread through the population of the United States, and it creates a great deal of animosity among between racial groups, and my fear is that it causes people to want to trash the entire system, and it can also justify ethnic violence. And we don't even want to go there, even want to get close to that, because we've seen it even recent times in the former Yugoslavia.
On the text line, you're apparently here being dismissed as an old white guy trying to tell people of color what is racist. White supremacy is growing and cops are still killing black people.
Well, I've noticed that some folks, what they really need, they're looking for the old white guy to hate. And I guess sometimes I'm it. I love it when somebody tries to counter my arguments, my statements, by saying, you're an old white guy. Frankly, I don't give a damn about an individual like that. They're not serious in any conversation.
Well, I told you, there was a woman that I know on Facebook. I don't know her well. Apparently, she was in the meeting last night, and she posted a negative comment about the meeting. And I posted on her thread that you were going to be on the show tonight, and I invited her to call in and have a one-on-one discussion with you.
Sure.
And she dismissed it out of hand, and essentially she dismissed you as privileged.
Yeah, well, that's because I suppose she shies away from the intellectual debate, from the intellectual challenge, and that's a pity when people don't want to talk with each other. I'm willing to talk with anybody and everybody. If they start throwing insults around, then I tend to want to go back to what my old professor of political science said at UC Berkeley when I was there for a little while as an undergraduate. Tell him to go to you-know-where.
Let's talk to Rick up in Templeton. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
Hi there, you guys. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Well.
All right. Mr. Ahrens, I've heard that there is a problem with the funds and maybe putting the aquatic center at the high school because of the way the voting was done. Would there be any possibility of putting the aquatic center at the Georgia Brown School?
Short answer, please, Chris.
No. At the moment, there's no possibility for putting the aquatic center anywhere. We don't have the money. We just don't have the money. We want to keep on looking for additional financing, but that was really a boondoggle with the previous board and the previous superintendent a few years ago. And it's just, we've still got the swimming pools sitting in those freight containers in the back of the high school there, and we don't know what to do with them. We would like to build the aquatic center, but the money's not there yet.
Yeah, Rick, I'll have to leave it at that. Thank you. Two texts on the Stolberg line. One, your guest is absolutely correct about critical race theory. Those who follow that adhere to tribalism. Second text on the Stolberg line. In all my years of school, I was never told the honest truth about what America has done to its people and around the world. So, as always, this show has viewpoints of opposite beliefs.
Sure. Isn't that nice? As long as people are still engaged in civil discourse, that's a big part of the solution already.
When does the Paso Robles School Board meet, Chris?
I think we're meeting again in 2 weeks. We meet usually every 2 weeks on Tuesday night. And starting normally at 5:30, though we went with this remote meeting format and all the technology that's required. Last night we started at 5 o'clock and we finished at 11:30. It was sort of a long meeting.
All right, we appreciate your time. As always, I can give about 45 seconds for a final thought, sir.
I've been enjoying the service on the school board. I look forward to filling out my term, and I hope that I can do a good contribution to the education of the students there. We've done a lot of work so far in advancing education there in Paso Robles. We had a little setback with the COVID shutdown, but I'm sure we'll recover from that in the course of this next school year.
You going to run for re-election?
I'm not planning on it. I'm a little bit older now. I'd be 71 at the next election, and that's starting to I don't need to hang around too long, at least in a public office. So I'm not going to make any decision about anything at this time.
All right, fair enough. Chris, thanks for your time.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it very much.
Me. Bye.
Off we go. We have news and traffic and weather. Let's hear from Craig. He's been gone for a week and a half. How was Texas? We'll find out. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show.